Folks, before we get started with the homemade broadcast, I want to tell you quickly about NTTFitness.com. What is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you're like me, if you're like most Americans, you're fat, you're lazy, you want food, and you want it now. You're hungry, you're going to go through the Burger King drive-thru, and you're going to get one of those dollar tacos because you want to see what all the fuss is about, and you're disappointed, and you should be. You should be ashamed of yourself. NTT Fitness is a food delivery service, but it's not just food. It's good food, and it's good for you. Use my code LEVELUP15. You'll get 15% off your first order. There's macros. There's micros. It's stuff you should put in your body. NTTFitness.com. LEVELUP15. 15% off your first order. All right, let's start the show.
Beach Drive. Rob Carr. Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
What you represent to them is freedom.
What the hell's wrong with freedom, man? That's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what it's all about, all right. But talking about it and being it, that's two different things. I mean, it's real hard to be free when you are bought and sold in the marketplace. Of course, don't ever tell anybody that they're not free, because then they're going to get real busy killing and maiming to prove to you that they are. Oh, yeah, they're going to talk to you and talk to you and talk to you about individual freedom. But they see a free individual, it's going to scare them.
No, don't make them running scared.
No, it makes them dangerous.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast.
Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2...
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. Facebook? Sure. HMB Radio. Just search that. Twitter? Yep. Instagram? You know it, brother. Or sister. Home_made_man. You can find me on there. Hit me up if you want some stickers or magnets, whatever. Well, not whatever. I can't give you, like, money. I'd like to. I wish I could. I would if I could. I hope you know that. But I can get you goodies and stuff. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. Or on those social media handles. And, yeah. Cool. Welcome to the show. I hope you're well. I'm fine. Recording again a little early this week. I shouldn't even tell you. I don't know why I tell you. I just feel like I should be honest. I'm recording on a Tuesday again because I have to work on Thursday. So probably going to talk about stuff that you already know about and is boring. I hope that's not the case. Hopefully you still find it interesting. We're going to talk about the controversy going with Shane Gillis, comedian Shane Gillis. He was fired from Saturday Night Live before he even really started. He was hired. And some vindictive bitch decided from Vice Magazine decided to go after him because, well, honestly, I think it's because he's a white guy. And they're tired of white guys being on Saturday Night Live, so they need to find ways to get him off. Not in a good way. Not get him off in a good way. Get him thrown off and fired from his job before he even started. So we're going to talk about that later. I also got into, not into it, but I saw Louis C.K. at McCurdy's. He was down there in Sarasota. And I saw a thread with one of my friends, and she asked the question if it was okay to support Louis C.K. at this point. And the answers were kind of shocking, because my theory with it is, if you want to, if you want to go see him, go see him. And if you don't want to support him, then don't. I don't give a crap. I don't, nobody cares. So we're going to talk about that too as well later in the show. If you head over to hmbradio.com, you can read a tale about Clearwater Mayor. I don't even know his name. Oh, but I can look it up. Don't you worry. Let's see here. His name is Mayor George Kritikos, and he is the mayor of Clearwater. He recently called for a ban on assault rifles in the city of Clearwater, which I'm pretty sure you can't do. It's one of those, you just can't do that. It doesn't trump, you know, state law or federal law. But he wants assault weapons gone. I had a crash course in assault weapons. I'm pretty pro Second Amendment and everything. I believe in that. But I'm not a, you know, a huge gun guy or anything. I don't really know how they work. I know I think we should have them. I think it's better if we have them than not. I think the benefits outweigh the costs there. Yes, I know that you will disagree with me, some of you people out there, and I understand why. I get it. I still think it's more beneficial to have them than not. But I didn't really know too much about the AR-15. I knew it looked cool. It was a cool-looking rifle, and that's about all I knew. And there's a lot of propaganda out there about those guns. I knew that as well going into it. I saw a USA Today article. I don't know. This was, geez, a year ago, year and a half ago, where they did a diagram of an AR-15. These are people who have never seen one in person. They've definitely never shot one. They've never had it explained to them by a gunsmith or somebody who knows what they're talking about. They just kind of Google it and find some stuff and then kind of fill in the blanks themselves, it seems like, because they were labeling parts on this weapon, and it said grenade launcher. I even know that, and I don't know what I'm talking about, but I knew that was BS. And that's the thing. You find these little things you can nitpick, and you go, yeah, I don't think you know what you're talking about. So I'm not going to just blindly trust you for my knowledge in this field. So I got a crash course from Marcello. Oh, man, what's his shop's name? He has Gennaro's on St. Pete Beach, the Italian restaurant, which is really good, by the way. Go check that out. Not a paid thing, but his food's awesome, and he's an awesome dude. And I went down there to hang out with him for a little bit. But he also is a gunsmith, and he showed me why this rifle was so popular. And it's not just because it looks cool. It was because it's so versatile. You can do so many things with it. It's called the Lego gun, right? And he's telling me all this. You could just literally pull a pin and take it apart. You put a new barrel in there, and now you have a different gun, pretty much. Like, you can fire different bullets out of it. Same gun, but you can fire different caliber bullets out of it. And these guns, they all fire, you know, .226, .556. You know, at your dad's hunting rifle fires the same ammunition. It's the same damn thing, but this one looks cool and scary. You know, it looks like a military-style weapon. It looks like an M16, but it's definitely not an M16. Although he showed me this freaking gun that he modified. And this is the thing with these laws. There's always little workarounds here. So they banned these things called bump stocks last year, and so you can't have those things. And basically what that does is it uses the gun's momentum so you can fire faster. So you're still one pull of the trigger, but it's one bullet comes out with each trigger pull. But this uses the momentum, so it kind of like makes it go pretty fast. And it's almost like a machine gun at that point. So you can't have those anywhere. But he showed me this trigger. It's like a bilateral trigger, I think he called it. And the law says one trigger pull, one bullet. So this has some sort of workaround where you pull the trigger, bang, and then when you release it, that's one trigger pull, another bullet comes out. So you just I mean, it was a machine gun. It was pretty crazy. I don't think those things are going to be legal too much longer. But I got a crash course pretty much in this weapon and why it's so popular and what you can do with it. And like I said, you just kind of break it apart. So you don't have to, if one part breaks, which it tends to do, you know, with wear and tear, you don't have to replace the whole firearm. You can kind of replace a piece of it. So that's why it's so popular. It does not shoot grenades, and it takes the same ammunition that your dad's hunting rifle does. So, you know, I just want to remind you, if you're ever curious about something, even if you're not curious about it, even if you have a disdain for something, just Google it a little bit or ask somebody who's into this stuff, because you might learn something that you didn't know. And knowledge is power, dudes.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCP.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by Truvie Salon and Spa, the finest salon in Tampa Bay. That's right. Chrissy Parker in St. Petersburg is doing hair, and she's doing it well. You can follow her on Truvie_Salon on Instagram to check out the product. I'm telling you, gals, if there's any females listening, probably not many, I would guess. But if you are a woman, you got to get your hair cut. It's important. Men, fellas, you got to get your hair cut too. You do. But I didn't understand until recently how expensive it was to get a haircut. You're talking, if you get a color and stuff, hundreds of dollars. So if you're going to invest that kind of money into a haircut, you got to go to the right people. And I would recommend going to Truvie Salon and Spa, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Make your appointment today. Visit Truvie, T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, salonandspa.com. Make your appointment. The Botox lady's coming. That's right. Once a month, she comes in there, injects some boomers right in the face. But I think if you're young, you can do it too. If you're just self-conscious, we all are. I am. I'll take some Botox. Why not? It won't kill you, so they say. I'm sure it's fine, but it'll smooth you out. Nice and clean and fresh and new, so you can keep lying to your boyfriends and your husbands. It's God's shortcut. You can fool them into thinking that you can still have children, and you're not old. So make your appointment today. Trust me. TruvieSalonAndSpa.com. If you're subscribed to HMB Radio on your podcast feed, you would know about the HMB sites. Those are exclusive podcasts only available at HMBRadio.com and on the iTunes and on the Google Play or Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Now, those are extra content. They come out on Friday, and they're only available there. You can't get them on Radio St. Pete. And if you missed last week's episode, you shouldn't have, but if you did, I complained about how Florida college quarterbacks suck and how no decent quarterbacks have come out of university in Florida, not the University of Florida, but just Florida in general, how the quarterbacks always bomb and they end up being busts in the NFL. Now, of course, I thought of a few after I recorded the podcast. Dante Culpepper came to mind. A friend of mine pointed out Vinny Testaverde had a decent career. Yeah, I guess so. Sure, I'll throw that in there. He played a long time. Bernie Kosar, someone else said, yes, true. He was good out of Miami. So Miami, I think, is the exception here. And Mike from St. Pete chimed in with a really good one. So let's check out that call. He called in, and if you would like to call in, you can. 813-693-2124. That's the voice. You can leave a voicemail. That's what that means, or a text message line. You can text. But Mike from St. Pete had a good one, so let's check out his response to a quarterback in the NFL from the state of Florida who ended up being good.
What's up, dude? It's Mike in St. Pete. You were asking about what's a quarterback that came out of, your words, the state of Florida, not Florida, University of Florida. The state of Florida that did anything. I didn't cheat or anything because I definitely know one offhand because I grew up a Buffalo Bills fan growing up on Long Island. I was a Bills fan, and I moved to Florida in 92 and brought all of that with me with, you know, the four straight Super Bowl losses. But Jim Kelly played for the University of Miami, and he was really good there too. And, you know, some can argue that, oh, well, he didn't get a Super Bowl ring, but, you know, most people agree he's definitely one of the best performance-wise quarterbacks of all time. I mean, four straight Super Bowls. We almost won the first one. I was going to make a joke and say Gino Toretta from University of Miami. You know, Heisman winner Gino Toretta, but he didn't do anything. and I can't think of any receivers or anything like that. But, yeah, that's what I could think of.
Absolutely. Jim Kelly was the man. I watched him. I watched the I grew up a Cowboys fan just because I don't know why. I still kind of have a soft spot for him in my heart. I wanted Troy Aikman to marry my mom desperately. I was very upset when my mom chose my stepdad Mark over Troy Aikman. Broke my heart, but I just grew up a Cowboys fan. I think my cousins were, and I just liked my cousins. They were, like, older and cool. So I was like, oh, I like the Cowboys, too. That's going to be my team. So I watched the Cowboys just beat up Jim Kelly for many years, but he is the man. And I think isn't he going through, he has, like, cancer or something, right? Or did, and he beat it. So he's still here, still kicking. So that's awesome. Jim Kelly was the man, absolutely, yes. And Mike also had a comment about our own Jameis Winston here. Jury's still out if he's a bust or not. I don't know. It's definitely not looking good, though. He's still, honestly, I think kind of sucks. But we'll see. We'll see. The year is still young. The season's young. They won the game against Carolina at Thursday night game a week and a half ago. That's good. It wasn't a dominating performance or anything, but he won the game. Well, the defense, you know, won the game. But hey, as long as you get those W's, that's all that matters. So I'm optimistic now. Right now, the Bucs are leading the division, right? They're 1-1. They got that division game under in the books. And Drew Brees for the Saints is out for, I think, 8 weeks right now. That's a good sign. I mean, it sucks that, you know, obviously he's hurt, but Drew Brees is really good, and I don't want to have to face him. Or I don't have to do anything, but I don't want the Bucs to have to face him because he's very good, and he could pick us apart very easily as he's done the past, I don't know, what, 15 years now? Good gosh. It seems like the stars could be aligning. That's all I'm saying. And it may be because of injuries to other teams that the Buccaneers do well. I'll take it. Really don't care. I'm so tired of being just watching this team lose. I'm sure you all are if you're in the sports. And if you're not in the sports, I'm sorry, we're talking sports again. It's just new. It's fresh. The season's fresh. Everybody's excited right now. So let's hear what Mike has to say about our own Buccaneers leader, quarterback, Jameis Winston.
I grew up a Bills fan, but I am now a Bucs fan. And I don't think Jameis Winston's any good. He looks confused on the sidelines, you know, after something goes wrong. You know, like Drew Brees, if he screws up, he's like looking at replays and like the, you know, looking at paperwork like right away as soon as he's off the field. So, and you know, Winston's just looking like a deer in the headlights, dude. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's 5 years in already. I mean, you want to say, oh, it's an experience. I mean, I don't know, but I think Jameson's not that good. So, again, Florida quarterback, you know, it's just, it never pans out. So I agree there.
Jury's still out. Season's young. Keeping my fingers crossed. I'm hoping for the best and, you know, expecting the worst. Speaking of Florida college quarterbacks that sucked, Tim Tebow was in the news this week because he had the audacity to claim that college athletes should not be paid. Now, I kind of disagree with this. I don't think they should be paid, you know, super well or anything, but I think it's fair to break these dudes off a little something. This is a $1 billion industry, billions of dollars in industry. And these dudes, you know, it's their job. They go to school and then they play football at a very high competitive level. And they don't really have the time to go get, you know, regular jobs working at McDonald's or something. A lot of these dudes are huge. I remember Booger McFarland saying that when he was in school, yes, he had a meal plan, but it wasn't enough. He said, I was over 300 pounds, you know, the regular meal plan wasn't enough for me. So I think they should get, you know, maybe a couple hundred bucks a week, You go and you get, you know, you can get some extra food. You can buy yourself some shoes. Because it is a job. You're working for the university and it's bringing them in revenue. Just break them off a little something. Not a lot. Just a little. But here's Tim Tebow's take on why college athletes should not be paid.
I feel like I have a little credibility and knowledge about this because when I was at the University of Florida, I think my jersey was one of the top selling jerseys around the world. It was like Kobe, LeBron, and then I was right behind them, and I didn't make a dollar from it. But nor did I want to, because I knew going into college what it was all about. I knew going to Florida, my dream school, where I wanted to go, the passion for it, and if I could support my team, support my college, support my university, that's what it's all about. But now we're changing it from us, from we, from my university, from being an alumni where I care, which makes college football and college sports special, to then, okay, it's not about us, it's not about we, it's just about me. And yes, I know we live in a selfish culture where it's all about us, but we're just adding and piling it onto that, where it changes what's special about college football. Tim, we turn it into the NFL, where who has the most money, that's where you go. That's why people are more passionate about college sports than they are about NFL. That's why the stadiums are bigger in college than they are in the NFL, because it's about your team. It's about your university. It's about where my family wanted to go. It's about where my grandfather had a dream of seeing Florida win an SEC championship. And you're taking that away so that young kids can earn a dollar. And that's just not where I feel like college football needs to go.
That's fair,
there's
man.
That opportunity in the NFL, that's but fair. Not in college football.
Obviously very passionate. About this matter. I don't understand why, dude. Just, like I said, just a little something. Not a lot of money, not, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Just a few thousand bucks, you know, $1,000 a month, right? Just enough where you can get a little something, get yourself a little extra food, buy yourself some shoes, so you don't have to go get a job. You go to school. Now, you got to, I would say, like, you have to keep a certain GPA. You got to keep a 2.0 or 2.5, whatever. Whatever line in the sand is drawn there. So as long as you do that, you go to practice, you play the games, you get a little something on top, just a little extra. But he's very passionate. He's certainly entitled to his opinion. Now, of course, since we live in the dumbest time that we've ever lived in, where we have it so good that people find little tiny things to pick apart, he got called racist for this. This was from the Orlando Sentinel that after his lengthy and rousing rant, social media blew up with those who said Tebow's stance reeked of white privilege and he was standing up for the plantation mentality of college athletics. Incredibly, Tim Tebow, a man who builds hospitals and orphanages in third world countries, holds proms worldwide for thousands of special needs kids, and does more for the disadvantaged and underprivileged than any athlete I've ever come across, suddenly was being portrayed as the next David Duke. Does Tebow speak for all college athletes? Of course not. Many college athletes would love to get legally paid by millionaire Ohio State and an Alabama boosters who may soon be able to legally give them $1,000 every time they sign an autograph or take a selfie. Tebow simply was giving an opinion from his perspective on how he doesn't want college football to turn into the NFL. So these are just easy ways to win an argument. You don't have to debate, you know, his points there. You can just say, oh, you're a racist. What? No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. If you disagree with me, I'm just trying to get black kids money. If you don't agree with that, there must be some sort of ulterior motive where you just want them to be poor. No, I just told you why. Yeah, say they don't believe you. And you can't have conversations with people who don't take you for what you're putting out there. I've never seen a real racist person, like, deny that they're racist. Like, everybody's got that uncle who just says crazy stuff at Thanksgiving. You're like, oh, that's my crazy uncle. He's a little racist. Like, racists don't hide who they are. There would be no reason to. And especially you hear that, well, this country is just dominated by white supremacy all over the place. If it was, these people wouldn't need to hide behind points because they would be in control, right? And mostly this is just the internet, too. Like, normal people don't react like this. These are people on Twitter, lunatics, that are anonymous and can kind of just spew whatever bullcrap they want without having to, you know, prove any of their statements. They just throw it out there, and that's the way it is. But so you don't talk to those people, obviously. They're not reasonable, and you're wasting your time trying to engage with those folks. Most people, even lunatics that you know, are pretty okay and pretty reasonable if you can actually get and talk with them one-on-one. They're usually pretty open to hearing other perspectives. But on the internet, forget it. So, no, I don't think Tim Tebow is a is a racist. It was a really crappy NFL quarterback, though, that came out of the University of Florida. Let me know what you think. Should college athletes be paid for their service? Yes, a scholarship can cost $150,000, but the college isn't paying for that. It is the institution, so it's not losing any money, right, by offering these kids scholarships. Should they be paid? Is Tim Tebow a racist? Was he the biggest bust at quarterback that ever came out of a Florida university? Let me know. 813-693-2124.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by HomemadePodcast.com. Homemade Podcast is a media consulting company dealing with podcasts, believe it or not. I know. If you've ever been interested in starting a podcast but don't know how to begin, I can help you when it comes to RSS feeds, hardware, software, any of that good stuff. I'm talking to you through that method currently, so I know what I'm doing, believe it or not. Get in touch with me at HomemadePodcasts.com. Stay Woke is a radio program that I co-host with my friend Anna Hummel on 102.5 The Bone. You can hear it weeknights at midnight. That's right. It's on a little late. But this week, I got to sit in seat one and host because Anna was sick. I had Rhett Matthew join me from the Cannon Fire podcast, which is an independent Bucks podcast. So if you're into football, into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, check out his podcast. It actually just won a Best of the Bay award, so you'll like it if you're into sports and stuff. Cannon Fire Podcast. You can find it on iTunes and Stitcher and all that good stuff. So he joined me, and we talked about an incident I had with some friends of mine on social media about Louis C.K., and then we talked about Shane Gillis. Shane Gillis is a comedian also, and he was hired by Saturday Night Live. It was a big deal, and he was quickly fired by Saturday Night Live because he used some language that was rude and offensive. So we're going to check out this clip from Stay Woke, which can be heard at midnights on 102.5 The Bone. But if you are not awake, make sure you get the Bone app because you can download it. You can listen to it on demand at your leisure so you don't have to stay up like a freak at midnight waiting for this show. I went and saw a comedian down at McCurdy's. Name of Louis C.K. Have you ever heard of him?
Never heard of her.
No, wow. I'm man. He is fantastic. He was super famous. He got caught up in some of the Me Too stuff that went on last year. Now, what happened was, are you familiar with this case at all?
Yeah. No.
You are.
I was totally kidding when I said I hadn't heard of him. I'm a big fan of him.
Okay. So, you know, he got caught up in some of the Me Too stuff. And what happened was, is my understanding, the research that I had done, is he pleasured himself in front of, a lot of fellow lady comedians, which is a weird thing to do. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
Johnny described it as creepy. I don't know if it's creepy or not. I mean, he did ask permission.
And again, not saying what he did was right, but I think the creepiness factor was if he didn't ask.
Right.
Like if he's just chilling, you know, yanking his chain and people walk in or they don't notice that he's doing it, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But he made it clear what his intentions were.
Yeah, and I understand the argument too. It's like, well, he's in a position of power and these girls felt like they had to. And I go, yeah, maybe, I guess. But one of the good things that comes from the Me Too era, I hope, is that women know now that you can absolutely say no. It doesn't matter how powerful the man is. You're never obligated to do anything.
Oh, yeah.
But I saw, like, this was, geez, a year ago at least that this happened. And he lost his shows. He lost his, he was selling out arenas. And now, and it just went from, now he's grouped in with Harvey Weinstein. This guy really did some predatory crap and some other, you know, bad guys. But they're different. I don't know.
Right.
It's just not.
No,
that.
I get what you mean. There was this aura of just bad things happening around the Weinstein crowd. Like everything that happened over there. You read about the the airplane rides that they had, things like that. Like it's just general bad stuff.
Right.
And I mean,
it's a severe assault.
Right.
Rape. Yeah.
And it's on a grand scale as well. There's so many people involved and so many moving parts. You compare that to a guy who just did what he did.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, and the thing for me is that he asked permission. And yes,
maybe they felt pressured, but like I said, I hope the good thing is that they'll never feel pressured again, and you can absolutely say no to this stuff. But anyway, so he lost everything. Now he has to do these. He was doing drop-ins at his club, the Comedy Cellar up in New York, and he did that one night, and some woman got upset and demanded that he not be able to perform, demanded her money back. So now he can't even drop in and do open mics now because of this stigma that's around him. So what he started doing instead was going to these smaller clubs. Now he's super famous, so he's like, don't advertise it, just, you know, put it out there. Tickets sell out immediately. Johnny was lucky enough to get tickets. I went and saw him in February, too, at Side Splitters, and it was a lot of the same kind of material that I saw in February. But he's so good and such a master that I enjoyed every second of it. And I'm really disappointed with, we kind of talked about it a little bit on the Johnny B show to end with his meltdown. But I'm noticing on these local comedy forums that I'm a part of, there's a lot of people who don't want him to ever work again, don't want him to make any sort of living, that what he did was beyond the pale. And I think that's insane. And there's this local person that I really like that's in here all the time who said that if you support this guy, he's a piece of S, and if you go and support him, you're also a piece of S. And I go, man, I like you. I whenever I see you, I enjoy seeing you. You're very cool. But then you say something like that, that's like, I'm not a piece of S. You know
right.
me.
Yeah.
What
we
the
hang
hell?
Out. We're friends.
And I think it's okay to say, like, if you don't want to go see his show, fine. Don't go. I don't think anybody's going to, you know, whatever. But don't tell me that I can't go.
Right.
Or if I do, that I'm some sort of monster. I mean, it's totally out of hand. I don't know. What do you people think? Give me a call. 727-579-1025-800-771-1025. And this is nothing new. I mean, there's this other comedian. You're familiar with this guy, Shane Gillis?
Yeah.
So I didn't really know who he was. I'm pretty into comedy, but there's a lot of comedians out there, and I follow it semi-closely, but not this close. Shane Gillis was hired to Saturday Night Live, which hasn't been good since forever, really. It's a bad show.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Shane Gillis got hired, and also the other person that got hired to Saturday Night Live was the first Asian American who's also gay. What a combo. That checks off so many boxes for people. I mean, that's a big deal. Everybody was amped about that. And then what happened was, now, these comedians, these guys who aren't famous automatically, you know, or came up in a time with social media, podcasts, that type of stuff, they're putting out hours and hours of content and tweeting constantly, hoping that one of their tweets goes viral, so something, one of their podcasts goes viral. You say outlandish things, maybe, in order to, maybe for shock value, or just hoping that something sticks. And, I mean, there's hours of this, 10 hours, you know, or hundreds of hours, I mean, of this audio. And some reporter from Vice magazine went through, some woman, sorry, but she is a lady, and it tends to be women who do this stuff, or guys who wanted to be comedians, that's another thing that I saw, that were failed comedians.
You know,
and then they wanted to get revenge on the guys that were actually kind of successful.
When I think of the people who sit around and have nothing better to do than scope through old media to try and dig up some dirt, I compare it to, like, the Facebook mom groups where they complain, the neighborhood watch. They basically just sit around and look out the window because they've got nothing better to do.
Well, they're so vindictive. The way they write, they're so, like, fire this MF. Like, really heinous, just vile.
They are
the
law.
You can see the vitriol. You can hear the vitriol in their speech, the tweets, you know. So some lady dug up this, and I got some audio. This is from the Today Show, so I'm going to play this for a second here and watch there be an ad. I make fun of Anna all the time for having ads in the videos. Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you got me. I don't know why we don't have ad blockers on these things. I know we're a media company.
Dude, it takes 2 seconds. It's like a browser install.
Can I do that? Do you know?
Yeah, I think you should be able to. You go to Chrome. It's a plugin. Literally search ad blocker. First thing that pops up.
All right, let's check out this.
One of Saturday Night Live's new cast members is under fire. The show announcing Thursday that comedian Shane Gillis will become a regular SNL cast member in upcoming season 45. But just hours later, videos emerged showing Gillis using racist and homophobic language in clips from Matt and Shane's secret podcast recorded last September, which have since been removed from its YouTube channel. Gillis appears to speak in caricature Asian accents and repeatedly uses a racist slur to describe Chinese people. In a separate clip, Gillis is heard using a homophobic slur to describe other comedians. Gillis is one of three new cast members, including Chloe Fineman and Bowen Yang, who is Asian American and openly gay.
I am Chinese, and I will not reproduce.
Gillis responding on Twitter, I'm a comedian who pushes boundaries. I sometimes miss, adding, I'm happy to apologize to anyone who's actually offended by anything I've said. But it did not stop the backlash. From fellow comedian Jimmy O. Yang, I usually side with comedians on sensitive subjects, but this is just plain racist.
Also should note that he's Asian, too, so he might be a little too close to the situation to have an opinion. I don't know.
This morning, no comment from SNL, which appears on NBC, a division of NBC Universal, the parent company of NBC News. The controversy comes as many are asking, how far is too far in comedy?
What?
Comedian Dave Chappelle, in his new Netflix special, slamming the public for nitpicking everything comics have said in the past, then trying to destroy them.
If you do anything wrong in your life, and I find out about it, I'm going to try to take everything away from you. And I don't care what I find out.
Now, a show known for making people laugh is facing serious questions.
So, yeah, there we go. And it's also been announced that he's fired. They fired him.
Frankly,
like that.
SNL did him a favor. It's a sinking ship anyways.
It should have been canceled a long time ago. And I think it's just because it's so iconic that it's been saved. I don't. Who the hell watches Saturday Night Live?
Well, who's even on Saturday Night Live anymore?
Dude, Pete Davidson, I know, is on there. He's kind of famous. I'm not a big fan of his. Kenan
right.
Thompson is the only other one I know. That's it.
I feel like Kenan Thompson is just stuck in entertainment purgatory, and that's why he's there.
I don't even think Leslie Jones is on there anymore, right? She's gone.
I don't think so.
That was the only person I knew. Saturday Night Live is a thing. What nerd stays home at 11:30 on a Saturday night to watch this program?
Oh, boy, can't wait
program?
For SNL.
Yeah, oh, boy. And it hasn't been like, I watched it when I was a kid, you know, and it was great. It was, you know, Adam Sandler, Chris Farley, David Spade, Rob Schneider. Those are the guys.
No, and that's the thing, too, is that, like, SNL, especially those older skits, you can look back on them today, and they're still funny as all hell. But, like, seriously, In my last 5 or 6 years, I've never once had a friend talk to me about Saturday Night Live.
It's totally
like,
irrelevant.
Nobody has asked me, oh, did you see the last SNL? Did you see the skit? The last time anyone I know cared about that show was when Pete Davidson apologized to that guy.
Hey, you're on Stay Woke. What's up?
Hey, this is Uber Dave.
Hey, Uber Dave. What can I do you for?
Well, I'm going to talk about this stuff. Anytime now, people can't be funny without something happening to them. I mean, it's comedy. You know what I mean? It's an open forum. It's just, I'm starting to get offended that everybody's being offended. So where do we stay on that?
I mean, I don't know. I would say, like, you can be offended if you want to. That's fine. But so now what do you want to do? I mean, it's a free market here. If the show's still on, it's on. Whatever. If people want to go see Louis C.K., let them go see Louis C.K. He's not a criminal. You know, I don't understand what you want to happen here.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's what I said. I'm offended that everybody's getting offended. I mean, I'm with it with everything. It's comedy. I mean, it's what makes everybody funny. It's what, you know. It's sad. That's what I'm trying to say. It's sad that this is happening to good people, great people. You know.
I agree. Thanks, man.
All right, no problem.
Later. Yeah, and this is going to continue to happen. And I saw good comedians that I think are good comedians that are pretty famous, Jim Norton, Norm Macdonald, are coming out against this. I can't wait to see what's going to happen with Shane's career. I think this is going to end up being a good thing for him. He's a household name now.
I think he'll get a Netflix special and he'll blow up.
You think so? Netflix is kind of social justice worry a little bit. Although they got Chappelle, they had Bill Burr.
That's the thing. Like Bill Burr and Dave Chappelle, these guys put out some of the funniest stand-up in quite some time. And all it is just talking about the problems that you and I are sitting here talking about right now.
That's what I really liked about, because I don't remember. I watched Bill Burr's. I watched Dave Chappelle's. And I loved both of them.
I haven't seen Bill Burr's yet. I've heard
great.
It's hilarious.
It's great. But it is picking apart this culture that we're in right now, and a lot of people are getting pissed off about it. But I don't know, like, are they? I think it's just people loud on the internet. I never hear anybody talk about this in real life.
No.
I never hear anybody talk about Louis C.K., the woman I'm talking about who's really mad and called us pieces of S's for going to his show.
Right.
I've never had any sort of conversation like that with her.
I think it's seriously one of those things where, like you said, it is just people with a voice on the internet and someone reads it and they're like, I kind of agree with that. And after so long, you've just got this mass following of people because numbers talk. If you've got 20,000 people on Twitter saying one thing, it's going to spread somehow, you know?
Yeah. And it allows you to be, Twitter kind of allows you to live in this echo chamber. You see these opinions and then you can follow people who agree with you. And then you can totally discount and not follow dissenting opinion.
I'm sure you remember when this was like kind of trending a few months ago, but have you ever met anyone in person who has talked anything at all about the Straight Pride Parade?
In person?
Yeah.
No.
Like, nobody's casually mentioned it, saying, oh, that's a good idea, or, oh, that's a bad idea.
I've seen my uber feminist friends talk about it on Facebook, but we've never had the conversation in person, ever.
Yeah, but never, like, you know, you're walking through the hallways, and you see someone out here, and you just casually bring it up, because those conversations don't happen.
They don't, because I think people, they know, first of all, they don't want to ruffle any feathers in people's face. They're afraid of confrontation, so they don't want, and it just doesn't come up naturally in conversation. Like, we'll talk about it. We talked about it on the show when it was coming up. Like, that was just a troll.
Yeah, that was a whole joke.
It was an obvious joke, and they made Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yeah,
you saw
the highlights of it.
Yeah, that guy. He's a gay man who was the commissioner or the head of the parade of the Straight Pride Parade. It's a joke. They're messing with you and watching these people get so upset. And they're like, this is what they're trying to do, you dummies. You're falling in the trap every time.
Yeah.
They continue to fall into the traps. It's constant.
All right, there you go. Stay Woke Midnights, 102.5 The Bone. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. Give me a shout. Let me know what you think about anything we talked about tonight. But I got to get out of here. It's time for me to go. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned because Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. And if you're listening on podcast, I certainly do appreciate it. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe. HMB Radio on iTunes and Stitcher, and the HMB side's available only there on Fridays. So subscribe. Get it. And with that, I'm going to leave you. I hope you have a fantastic week ahead. Kiss your mother. Tell her you love her. Tell your dad, thanks, man. Thanks for banging my mom. I appreciate it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. All right, Will Koontz, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. See you later. Goodbye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.